Ooh, good evening, sports fans. It's another episode of Sports Highway. Why do I keep doing that? Sports Highway. That's my title, too. Jesus. So, April 18th, lots of sports going on. We got heavy NBA playoff action beginning. NHL is finishing up, and then we're going to roll into the playoffs. We've got baseball off into a big swing, Twins kind of faltering. And then we've got some boxers in the studio tonight. The legend Bill Deutsch isn't here tonight. He's down in the cities. I think he's having some medical appointments and visiting his family down there. And, of course, over here we've got the delightful Raven Carlson.
Hello.
The sports girl. And then sitting over here in Bill's chair tonight, we've got Robert Kellogg.
How you doing?
And then back over here, we've got Juan Mercado.
Hey.
There we go. These guys are fighters. We're going to learn more about them. They're going to be involved in an event called Spring Swing at Cass Lake on April 27th, so Saturday night. I know that because that's my birthday. So I
happy early birthday.
There you go. I'll be 25.
I'm sorry I won't be here for that.
No. Okay. But no, so you got this fight going on. So I don't know. It's tough to know where we should start. I usually throw the question to Bill, like where he wants to start. But
You introduced the guests. I know they got a big upcoming fight to talk about. How about we get to know the guests a little bit?
Sure. Well, I'm going to throw it over here at Mr. Kellogg then. So tell us a little bit about yourself and who you're going to fight and what's going on there.
I'm currently 19 years old. I'm from a little outside the Twin Cities, and I'm a college student at UND, freshman, so I'm studying elementary education, and I'm upcoming fight, coming 27th, and I'm fighting a guy named Sam Kaiser. Fought him once before, about a year and a half ago, and I ended up winning that fight. It was a good fight, but...
And it's a boxing match, so last time around, how many rounds?
It's about three rounds. Last time it was about, I think, a minute and 45 seconds for that, because that was my second fight.
You fought him already,
yep.
And a minute 45 seconds in the first round?
No, so, yeah, a minute 45 seconds each round.
Okay, so yeah. So the was it like a decision then? Or
unanimous decision. Four judges went my way and one judge went his way.
Oh, you had a paid judge. Hometown judge. Where was the fight at?
It was in St. Cloud, Minnesota at the Armory.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, and then, so you've got that win under your belt. How many fights have you had?
I've had about three fights. I'm 1-2 right now. I won one of my fights and two other just didn't go my way.
And where have you been fighting at?
I haven't fought for about a year and a half. It was just, I haven't just gotten a fight. I fought out of Minnesota Top Team for a while. That's in Minneapolis. But then when I moved up here for college, I'm now based out of C3 Combat.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure being there, and I've been so blessed to work with Victor. And every person just pours on to you and just gives
you... Well, it's pretty intense over there.
I mean, a little bit, but... It's great work, and Victor gives you everything you need to be successful, and he's one of the most, he's done so much for that gym, and he's, from the kids' classes to the adult classes, he's in there every day for 4 hours plus, and he's making sure everybody's getting the work they need. I've never seen a guy more dedicated to his gym.
Monty, if I could just jump in for a quick sec, if people get done with this interview, maybe another good one to add to their watch list is we interviewed Victor in the studio just under a week ago for the upcoming Throne MMA fights that Comeback Cardio Club will be participating in too. Yep. There in at the Alaris Center here coming up here soon. So make sure to check out that. You hear all about
definitely
Victor's background. And just I interviewed him and Ben Wicks and Andre Murray, and just hearing what they had to say about Victor, about them just being a total on-the-ball coach, and Victor's just how he got into coaching. It sounds like he's exactly like you said, 1,000% dedicated to taking the best out of you guys.
Yeah, I couldn't put it any better than how you just put it. Yeah, he's been the most he will set you up for success. And he's taught me already life lessons that I wouldn't even expect to learn back home.
Can you maybe go into a couple of those, what you've been taking out of your training so far?
Hard work. I mean, it's just like the amount of dedication that you have to put in the sport. Is a lot of people don't realize how much of sacrifices you have to make for boxing. And he's just been an input just to give me. I mean, like every single day he's always telling me, the more hard work you push, the more sex you'll retain. So, yeah. I mean,
well, hard work is always the key.
Exactly.
I mean, and I do know he pushes the guys over there quite a bit. Well, he's a producer and owner there. I think we've had the Murray. Didn't we have him on the show?
No? Yeah, I brought him in.
You did?
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, because, yeah, he was fighting in, was that Devil's Lake, or Devil's Lake. I believe a few months ago, right?
Yep, and then he is fighting again.
Blair Center, I believe.
May 18th.
May. Yep. No, it's in the 20s. I think it's the 26th.
I'll look it up. I do know tickets for tickets for that are at a real easy website, alaracenter.com/MMA. That's a big thumbs up for them getting a nice, easy-to-remember website for those fights. So I can only imagine how a lot of fights going on for you for Combat Cardio Club for you guys. You got the boxing coming up here in, like, just over a week. MMA fights at the Alara Center. Everyone's just got to be in just total, like, focus mode as the days draw nearer, right?
Definitely. One of our other fighters, Roman Cruz, he just fought at Treasure Lake Casino, bringing boxing back. It's been over 15 years since they've had a boxing event there, and he performed. He's been training his butt off for about 4 or 5 months, and he's just, I mean, actually, he's been doing it for his whole life.
So what, Treasure Island?
Treasure Island Casino, yeah.
About a month ago or so, didn't they take some guys down to Spirit Lake?
Yep, that was in Devil's Lake. Yeah. One of our guys, Sean Stacks. He's in the military. He fought his first amateur MMA fight, and he did amazing.
Yeah, I was following it on Facebook, so I see that going on, and
yeah.
Saw that he'd done really well. The guys were bragging him up pretty heavy.
Yep.
And then I know we got Mr. Mercado over here. We better learn about him a little bit.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna butcher that every time.
Well, what do you do it then?
What is it actually?
It's Juan Mercado.
Mercado.
Juan Mercado?
Yeah.
I'm saying that wrong.
It's fine. You just got to roll your R's a bit. And it's.
I
cannot roll my tongue.
No, me either. So he's no.
I'm too white.
It's
for
way
that.
Sexier
sorry.
When you do it. No, go ahead. So tell us about yourself and how you got into this.
I'm Juan Mercado. I'm Puerto Rican. I don't know really how it started. I never felt like I was strong or like I always felt like weak all the time. And then I got bullied a lot. And it was just all of that in like high school. And then I got cut in the face by someone cut me. And I was like, that's the point where I decided to go to combat cardio. Vic was very, like, respectful about it. He showed me everything, and I learned a lot from there. I started off at, like, 200 pounds, and I lost 40 down to 160 and 150, and it was just there since then that I started fighting because it really just helped me in life, and I just learned.
Well, so now you're much more chiseled than you were. I bet you're not getting picked on either.
No, not
No, I bet not. Well, that's interesting. I've never heard anybody say it like that. But I do have a young cousin that actually, when he's in town, he goes over there and works out too. And he's only about 15 years old, and I've had to go over there and sign the papers so he can go in and work out and be involved. And he loves what they do with him there. And I have another cousin much older than him who's a fighter named Matthew Friesen. You guys probably haven't heard of him, but at one point he was like 10-0, and he knocked out some guys. Pretty good boxer, but he's a little older. He's about 39 years old now, so he's still active in it. But he's kind of long in the tooth for fighters. But I wouldn't get in the ring with him. No way.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got one question. Paul's wondering. I'm wondering too. You know, it's always curious finding out who your guys' inspirations are and your current favorites are being boxers. Who are your maybe your current or your all-time favorite boxers?
Oh, I know one of my favorites is it's pretty old, but Jack Dempsey. I love
this. Whoa, you.
You just impressed him so much.
Jack Dempsey.
Yeah, his style was like.
We're way back there. We're talking way back there. Like the 20s.
Yeah.
The 1920s. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, his style.
He was left-handed?
Huh?
Jack Dempsey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's left-handed. Yeah, wow. Yeah, he was, he's like an icon in boxing history, though. I mean, that's amazing that a kid like you would even have any idea who that is.
I don't.
Impressive.
Do you guys, like, look up, like, YouTube clips, or, like, do they, like, give you, like, access to, like, footage to archives to check out?
Oh,
I went to the library and I saw some tapes there, and that's kind of when I started getting into boxing. And it was first one I saw it was Jack Dempsey, and I thought it was a cool name, so I put it in. And his style was like it was so aggressive, and it was aggressive, but like very strategic. And he got around. And he was like it was like he was hunting his opponent in the ring, and I just saw that as like a huge inspiration, and I just kept going off of that.
Heavy hitter too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, wow. Can you recall who his main opponent was from those tapes? I should know myself, but it's escaping me right now. But no, there's another famous name that goes with his. Most times in boxing history, there's always that one opponent that they're aligned with, kind of like
Marciano.
No, he's way later. And Marciano never lost a fight, by the way.
Yeah.
Bats. Gene Tunney. Gene Tunney.
I believe so, yeah.
Gene Tunney was his opponent. It came to me. There you go. But Gene Tunney, and I can talk sports history. I don't give a shit what sport it is, guys, if you want to go history-wise. But no, I love the fact that you just threw a historical name at me like that. I was expecting something that more modern that I hadn't heard of, and wow, that's really great. I do. Continue.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He was. It was his style that really got me into it, and it's more of the modern ones that like they look cool, but it doesn't seem like challenging. Like because Mayweather, he was a good boxer, but he'd like jump out, he'd stay away. But when Jack Dempsey would have an opponent, he'd get in there and like go for the kill. He'd knock opponent down, stand over him for a few seconds, he'd get in the corner. He was in there.
Those famous clips have him standing over them.
Yeah.
Before he backs away. No, that's boy, I hadn't heard his name in a long time. That's impressive that you'd study that because you can only get better from that point on. I mean, And as a southpaw, are you a lefty yourself? No?
No, I'm right-handed.
That's crazy. Yeah. I would have thought you'd be left-handed if you followed, but you just happen to look at these tapes and see that. I spent a lot of time when I was growing up watching boxing with my grandfather. And of course, in those days, mid-60s was, Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston was the big badass at the time, and of course his career was ended by Cassius Clay, future Muhammad Ali. But there's always a lot of question as to whether or not he took a dive. Whether the punch is actually a punch or not. And of course Sonny Liston was supposedly connected to the mafia a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Boxing and while in today's world we have lots and lots of gambling issues going on, and I was just telling you guys there's an NBA player that just got suspended for life, not a star or anything, but a Toronto Raptor player that is suspended for life for shaving points or kicking games. And Raven is a strong aggressive against gambling in sports, aren't you? You can see it happening.
It depends who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's
a coach, no. You got too much influence to be able to gamble like that. But a player, if it's, it depends how much money it is. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that.
The chats, who do we got up there? Crawford.
Well,
there were
some names out for you, Monty. Roy Jones and Crawford.
Well, Roy Jones, for sure. I mean, he was fighting guys all over the place and had a great career, too. But he ended up going too big, I think, getting into the ring with guys bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
And probably just like many of them, stayed too long.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one thing about boxers is, of all sports, they're the ones that stick around way too long and end up getting knocked out by somebody that they trained or brought along. I mean, probably the most classic one was when Muhammad Ali fought Larry Holmes, his sparring partner, and Larry Holmes didn't want to beat him up.
No.
But he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Robert, I don't know if we got your favorite boxer yet, or did you...
No, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. No, I'm curious,
So, well, good. Yeah,
oh, you're on. I like Virgil Hill. I mean, he's Grand Forks fighter. I know it might be a little cliche,
No. That's Quicksilver. There you go, man.
Yeah.
The guy held the light heavyweight belt for dang near, 12 years, something like that.
And, he's... his counters.
Well, Virgil... Yeah. I've sat in the bar with Virgil over here in Rumors. He's Virgil's a great guy, and he's still he fought for a long time too, and he's still in the action of the he's putting together fights in different places still. I think he had a son that was fighting, but Virgil he won the silver medal in Olympics for sure. That's why he's called Quicksilver. But then see, he was a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Virgil wasn't like a power puncher, and his technique. The jab and the defense, but he also, and they didn't give him when he won the title, the first belt, he beat a guy named Leslie Stewart.
Yep.
Did you ever see the fight?
Yeah, my dad showed me a couple fights a couple years ago, and that's why I kind of took liking to him.
Yeah, well, Virgil was an underdog, huge underdog in that fight, and supposedly didn't have the punching power, and he knocked Leslie Stewart out.
Yep.
He did. Knocked him out, took the belt, and that was the beginning of his rise. And then he fought a guy named James Kinchin. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've seen that. And that was a first-round knockout.
Yeah, that was a...
Virgil hit him in the throat.
Yeah.
Punched him in the throat, and that was the end of that. I mean, he hit him in the throat, and it hit him about four more times, and the fight was over. And, might call it a lucky punch, but who knows. But Virgil had a long, really great career. But his big payday escaped him because he fought Tommy Hearns.
Yep.
And that it was a close fight.
Yeah, it was very close.
Very close fight. But he ended up losing that fight. And had he won that fight, though, the next level of payday for him was going to be astronomical.
Yeah.
And, he didn't quite get that one. But then his career still lasted about another decade after that. And he had... tons and tons of fights. I actually, right after he won the first belt from Leslie Stewart, there was a bar downtown called Faces Bar. And I was in law school at the time, and I was down there, and he bumped into my wife, and I turned around on him. And then I realized who he was. And I always say that's the night he almost got his ass kicked. No. But I had a big limo waiting outside for him, but he did. He bumped into my wife, and I was like, "Whoa, who are you?" Oh yeah, I know who you are.
I got another question.
Another question, I guess, kind of going hand in hand with favorite boxer. I'm sure you guys get this a lot too. I have to ask, but do you guys have an all time favorite fight, or at least one that comes to mind for any era, past, present, recent?
I really like the Tyson versus Deontay Wilder. That was a couple years ago, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. It was a battle. Like, not the fight itself was incredible, where both fighters were knocked down in the same fight. But outside the fighting perspective, during the press conferences and stuff, it was a battle of faith too. It was Christianity versus I think Muslim, and it was like, but. Tyson Fury was like, because Deontay brought religion into it, and Tyson brought his religion. He's like, my God has already won. He's my Jesus has already won for me. If I have Jesus with me, no one can beat me.
So that's Wilder.
No, this is Tyson Fury speaking, and then
then
Deontay Wilder was like, was saying something about demons and stuff, and like my demons are stronger than yours. And then at the fight, Tyson was knocked out. He was out. And what they said in the after thing was that Tyson basically was like resurrected, like he came back to life. And even Tyson said he was out for a clean, like, 3 seconds. And then he got up. No one thought he was going to get back up. And then he came at Deontay Wilder with everything he had, shifted into second gear, and he knocked him out. And then Deontay, after the fight, was like, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Wow. And, yeah, he was like, he believed that.
There's something spiritual maybe going on there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like a movie moment almost.
Well, yeah.
Well, I remember that fight. I just don't remember all those details about it because I was only watching from the periphery.
Yeah.
Because I don't pay as much attention anymore because boxing kind of, with all the MMA and you know the other type of fighting going on, but currently, right now, boxing is starting to rise again.
Yeah.
It's gaining its own attention like it used to have. You know, I guess myself, I would say that like the 1976 Olympic team, the Sugar Ray Leonard, the Spinks brothers, that bunch was the throughout my teenage and college years were the guys I was watching fight, and the Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hitman Hearns, that trilogy there was something, you know, those guys just, well, and then they include Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
I mean, Hands of Stone. That's my favorite fighter.
Yeah.
Let's see. We had, well, I don't know. Paul is pointing out we've had other fighters from Forks, but Miller, Harold Miller.
That's it.
Was had some pretty renowned fights in his career from Boxing Incorporated. Grand Forks is known for producing boxers.
Yep.
Even before the combat, because combat cardio kind of evolved from
Forks fighters
and Butch Hychek. Well, Butch. We'll get back to Butch in a second here. We got to run this ad.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
Well, before we went into the ad, we just had brought up the name Butch Hychek, and of course, Butch has fought both as a boxer and as a the mixed martial arts kind of stuff. And yep. I saw him fight one time in the East Grand Forks Civic Center in a mixed martial arts fight, and much bigger guy had him in a chokehold. And didn't look like Butch was going to be able to get out of it, but he did. And then as soon as he got back to his feet, he knocked that guy out, like, viciously. And I asked Butch... I was Butch's lawyer. I did some legal things for him. And so I knew him pretty well. I asked him, how did you get out of that chokehold? And he said, well, it takes just as much strength to keep choking you as it does to fight against it. So I relaxed. And the guy got tired. And he yep. once there was just that instant where he like
that window.
Yeah, that window. And once they got back to their feet, it was over. Butch knocked the crap out of him. And I've seen some, you know, fighting's a tough game no matter what you do. In the same card, there was a guy, a biker guy from town here named Rick Clow. And he wasn't a fighter, but he was a big, bad biker dude. And he fought this young Asian guy. And he was going to go grab him, and the guy got his arm over his shoulder.
Yeah,
he threw him. And he was going to break his arm, and he had to tap out. It was over. And this whole mess of biker fans.
Oh, there you go. We got our here we go.
Supersonic yes. Steve.
I'm here. Alive.
So you need to explain something to me, okay?
Got it.
Are you retired and not like you didn't tell us?
Well, there's a little thing called an NDA that you have to sign when you're negotiating selling your company.
Ah, okay, okay.
And then it gets legal beagle stuff, and it was just, it was hard because, you know, there's guys been and people have been with me for, you know, close to 40 years that I couldn't say anything to, and it was kind of felt like I was, you know, lying to them, but, you know, I didn't have a choice.
Well, gosh darn it, Steve.
Matter of fact, it happened on the show.
Well, yeah, you said you had to go. You had things going on last week. And then the next day you sent me a message saying you retired.
Well, I got a text. Had to go. So it was like, okay, now what do I do? Hmm. And went in on Friday and told the guys that I was retiring and the company had been sold. And it was, you know, pretty tearful, you know, because like I said, a lot of people that have worked with me for, they're like family. So it was emotional, yeah.
Well, so you basically ride off into the sunset with a big pile of cash then or what?
I'm in the sunset with a big pile of cash.
That's what I thought. I thought that was before even, yeah.
Well, hey. Hey, I don't have to worry about the right side of the menu. Let's put it that way.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
That means you actually have to come out here and visit, though.
Oh, we're definitely planning on that. There's no doubt about that.
I want to see the puppy. I haven't seen the puppy yet.
Rip's not a puppy anymore. He's like this beast of a... And he's not big, but he's muscular. He walks around like he owns a place, like he's going to rip somebody's head off if we don't feed him or love him or whatever. So
nah, he's still a puppy.
Well, he is.
Well, Supersonic, Bill is down in the cities. He's got some medical appointments and visiting his family. And so tonight we got a couple of young boxers in the studio that are going to be fighting on April 27th down in Cass Lake. And we've been running through some. One's a 16-year-old Red River High School sophomore, and the other's a 19-year-old UND freshman. And they're both boxers, so not mixed martial arts or anything. And they've been talking about their favorite boxers. And the 16-year-old kid, we ask him who his favorite boxer is, and he says Jack Dempsey.
Ooh, old school. Old school.
Yeah, I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah.
So that and then they've been filling us in, and then Mr. Kellogg over here, he's indicating that the Wilder Fury fight was the one he liked so much, and I don't know, I and then we talked about Virgil Hill a little bit and Harold Miller from here. Do you have a favorite boxer or boxing match that you?
I do, and none of you will even know who it is, but I grew up in Renton, Washington, and we had a heavyweight boxer named Boone Kirkman, and he lived in the same area all us kids did. So he just followed him. He actually had some big, he fought Norton.
Ken Norton?
But, you know, he was in the top 10, but never got, you know, up to number one or anything like that. But had a nice career and then went on and, you know, had a nice job at Boeing. But that's who I always followed was Boone Kirkman. And, you know, he's long since retired, but he's still alive.
Well, yeah. Well, no, and that's the thing about boxing is that, you know, there's always guys that are in the top 10 or in contenders, and they don't get the accolades or the acknowledgement that the champions do. And, you know, there's, boy, you go back through the history of it, the Joe Bugners or the Chuck Webner and you know, a laundry list of guys that Muhammad Ali beat up, you know, on the way. But I don't know. I look at the, like, Roberto Duran was my favorite fighter. And
boy, hands of stone.
Yeah, and he but then that the biggest loss he had was the one, the Nomas to Sugar Ray Leonard. Do you remember, guys, the Nomas?
Yeah.
You know? And so there was that. But then, you know, the kid
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, before we get too far ahead, I want to make sure that we got a question in the chat here I want to get to, but I know before we get to that, I know we didn't get a chance to get Juan's favorite all-time boxing match.
Oh, same one as him. I was thinking about the same thing. It was like telepathy, you know.
Yeah, telepathic, like, huh? Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, there's that. And well, okay, and I did look at the question up here. So what do you guys think about Jake Paul? Is he making a joke out of boxing, or is he making, or is he putting a light on it? Which is it?
I feel like he's doing a bit of both. Yeah,
a little bit of both.
I'd say so too. I would.
I feel like there's so many unknowns with misfit boxing, like this promotion, that it's just so hard to tell that if it's real or not, you know.
Well, he's a TikTok guy.
Yeah,
I mean that's where YouTuber. You start. Yeah. YouTuber. You start with this social media guy, and his brother, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're basically akin to Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they just started out of nowhere, just to like.
Yeah.
It was out of nowhere. Yeah. No one was expecting it.
No, and now he's, you know, I don't know, I was. Gosh, there was a short lived HBO show, Bumani Jones. You guys know? Anyway, he had a talk show on like Friday or Saturday nights on HBO, and he was interviewing Jake Paul, and Jake Paul got mad at him because he was asking tough questions.
Oh
yeah, about, you know, these tomato can guys you're lining up.
And, I think I know what you're talking about.
And Bumani Jones and Jake Paul kind of cussed him out and stopped the interview and walked off and said, oh, you're just trying to make a name off of me. And Bumani Jones is on HBO. You know, guy's already got a $20 million salary.
Yeah.
And the reaction on Bumani Jones' face, though, he just laughed it off. It was, you know, like Jake Paul didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Just
fight get canceled between him and Tyson.
Oh, I don't know. Because I saw it originally. Okay, so Tyson was supposed to fight Jake Paul.
Yep.
Then the fight was canceled, and then supposedly Tyson was going to sue him. And I don't think they're going to fight. I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. It's honestly hard to say with Jake Paul, you know, it's just like that high up in media. It's just like, are they trying to get publicity out of it? You know, are they trying to get more fame or trying to something else?
So from what I've heard, that now they're going to have to wear headgear.
When they,
you know, like, okay, like Tyson needs to wear headgear. But it this whole thing reminds me of, I don't know if you guys remember the reality show from who's the Rocky guy again? Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he had a reality show for boxing where he would have like the two teams that would come together. Do you guys remember this?
I heard a little bit about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny because he would like take these two teams and he would train these boxers, and then they would have like bouts. And then at the end of the reality show, you know, they would come up with a champion. And the joke about it was, okay, so this reality show already existed because it was called boxing. You know, like this already existed. It didn't need to become a reality show. And this whole Jake Paul Tyson thing, it's it's just going to be another ploy to just make a bunch of money off of pay-per-view.
Well, and that's not unusual because boxing has had that kind of a history with it. You know, for years and years, Bob Arum and Don King were the top two promoters in boxing history. They're the ones that put all the fights together for, like, Muhammad Ali and everybody else that came after them for years and years and years. And then you had, like, Jose Sulimon from the WBC or WBA.
Yep.
And so you had these semi-corrupt guys running the whole show to start with. So it's always had some question to it. Even when I was just earlier, we were talking about Muhammad Ali's knockout of Sonny Liston. I mean, Supersonic Steve, you know what I'm talking about there, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Phantom Punch. I mean, and Liston's connections to the mafia. So and then he ends up like being found dead in his like apartment like weeks after he died. I mean, we're talking a gruesome find by the people that found him.
Yeah.
But no, I just so there's always that question.
There's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes of boxing that you don't really realize. But yeah, I mean, they're still fighting, and it's still a dangerous sport. And,
oh, for sure.
And even like when. Said with headgear, headgear only does so much. People don't realize that it's
football players wear helmets and they get concussions and they have chronic brain damage.
If you're getting punched with headgear clean on, it's still hurting. It's
Raven's smiling over here like she wants to hit somebody.
No, I just think it's really funny because Jake Paul and his brother were always just trend chasers. They never had anything.
Oh, no.
Very substantial for a long period of time, no matter what it was.
Always changing up. Always doing something new.
Always doing something new. I don't believe... They might still fight. I don't know. But the whole headgear thing was 100% just so Jake Paul wouldn't die. Just seriously.
I thought it was going to be protection for the old man. But so it's protection for Jake Paul.
You don't need no protection. No.
I'm curious for your guys' perspective for being for you know upcoming boxers, but Jake Paul this past year it seems like you've been hearing him in the interview saying he wants to he's past the attraction fights and up until this Tyson fight he fought for what he was saying was like not stepping stones but like credible opponents to like be he wants to be a proven boxer. Do you think he was kind of going in that direction until this Tyson fight got announced?
No,
not really. No, yeah,
it's. I don't know. It's more of like if he wanted to, he should probably start like where every other boxer starts amateur. Fighting like, amateur and then going up from there to pros. But he's going straight for the throw on every single like big boxer right now. He's going,
but he's not even he's big not boxer. Fighting any big
no,
boxers.
Yeah, he's not. He's fighting like basketball players. Yeah,
basketball players.
Retired
like, fighters. Yeah. And then he fought.
He's not even a boxer. So
yeah.
There's just two guys fighting at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I want to say, at first when I saw some of his last few opponents he fought, I'm like, okay, he's going against like boxers who've had a lot of fights under their belt. But then I kind of read past the headline a little bit, and I'm like, oh wait, this guy hasn't had a fight in like 2 or 3 years, or and stuff like that. So yes, but then I see other boxing analysis too. I was like saying like, oh, people are saying like maybe it sounds like he actually has some degree of skills, but
how would you knock that at all? I would say that he does have skill, but I wouldn't say that he's up to the standard that he says he is.
Yeah. I would agree that he's not a professional boxer.
Not yet.
No. He didn't put in the time. He didn't put his dues in. He hasn't fought. You know, those amateur boxers before they turn pro and the guys that like went through the Olympics and all that stuff before they got there.
Worked their butts off.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
I think because of the degree that he's, I mean, the level that he's on with the media, I think that you can do so much with that and get so far with it that you can just jump, skip steps to get there.
Well, and the problem is that right now in like social media land, the money is so huge.
Yeah.
For something like that. So when you're talking about a card where a nobody like him, basically, and that's what he is. Could get into a fight that's got $100 million involved in it, or something like that, or even more, and so that's the risk you take when you have that kind of a circus that opponents will dive.
Yeah, it's just like the money that's I'm pretty sure leading everyone on to like.
Well, I'll fight Jake Paul if he wants to give me $30 million. I mean,
like,
And I won't have headgear either. And I'm old.
Well, the funniest part about all of this is in a year or two, he's just going to want to be a personal trainer. He's not going to want to box anymore. He never wants to do anything for more than a year or two.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think he's going to be a personal trainer. I feel like he's going to move on to the next trend or just like do something else. Yeah. Maybe like MMA. Just go on to something,
or knitting, or something like
that. Yeah. Race car driving. That's what it's going to be next.
Well, well, literally though, I feel like he's like the next step after the Jackass movies.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about him.
Jackass Jr.
Yeah. Jake Paul, Jackass Jr. We named him. There you go, Raven. You just pegged him. From now on, Jake Paul, we're not even calling him Jake Paul. We're going to call him Jackass Jr.
All I have to say, though, is I have recently rewatched the Jackass movies and whatnot.
Yeah. Pretty similar.
Insane.
He's not. Okay, so Jake Paul isn't. He might have some like certain skill sets, but he's not really that good at anything, and he's not that good at being a jackass. Like, if he tried, to go on Jackass, they would make an absolute fool of him within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, well,
I'd pay for that. That's something I'd pay for.
Yeah, he'd be that dude that they had paste the pubic hair on his face. That's so bad. That's so bad.
Well, at interviews, if he's swearing at people and storming off the set, I can't imagine what he'd do on the set of Jackass.
What would you, the first stunt you would want
Jake Paul to go through on a Jackass episode? Because you see all the crazy stuff they go to for the whole table. If you got, I think, a stunt Jake Paul you would like to see them kind of initiate him into the Jackass crew to be one of the gang, which one do you think would be up for par for him?
I want him to join, like, women's boxing, or just like just do something like that, see how it goes, you know. Or like fighting old people, just to make fun of his reputation, how he is right now.
Oh,
if that fight went on, he wouldn't make it one round. He would not make it around.
Yeah, like, he would get killed. Like, I want to see him get his.
I was just saying
I want to see him get his butt kicked by like a woman boxer, because they're crazy.
Or have an actual fight.
I want him.
It's gonna get him to get bruised up a little bit. Like, you see him walk away with nothing on him. He's first round knockouts. It doesn't go past the first round. Have him in there for 5-6 rounds, it might go a little differently, because he's only going for 2.5 minutes. Like,
let him do a full round.
That's not a full round. And he's not going the full fight that a lot of people say they are, and he's not getting conditioned at all. No. So
Monty, we should probably talk about their upcoming fight they got coming up here, the date, and get all the details and all that, huh?
Well, I suppose we should. I know we did ask Mr. Kellogg about who he was going to fight, and he did say he'd fought the guy before and beat him. But the kid over here, who are you fighting?
About that, I don't really know. I don't
amateur world. You don't really know who you're fighting.
Well, I understand that, because sometimes there's opponent lines up, and then you don't have that one. And then sometimes you show up to fight, and there's nobody there to fight.
That was me March 16th. Yeah, that was it was crazy.
Well, it's always tough, you know, lining up these kind of fights, and they do their best, and we're, you know, we're. I do give kudos to the Indy casinos for being such strong proponents of it.
Yeah,
it wasn't even the casino that messed it. It was more so I had to drop 17 pounds in a week for a fight.
Well, you couldn't do it?
Oh, I did it.
Oh, you did? Oh.
I did it.
I couldn't drop 17 pounds in 5 years.
And it was hard, and that's all I'm gonna say about it. But the guy, we get there, and he's like, we want a guy less experienced, and I only have 3 fights, and it was just kind of crazy, because like, you're not gonna find a guy with less experience than that. But he did, and he lost. But and we watched the fight, we were like, yeah, I would have messed him up, but.
I don't know.
Can't control it.
People get to pick their opponents.
Jake Paul.
Okay, going back to that, I know what I'd want him to do on Jackass.
Okay, what?
I would want him to walk into a biker bar.
Start a bar fight or what?
Full, like a dress like Dolores Umbridge. Okay.
Like JoJo Siwa outfit.
Yes. Know? Yeah, just glitter and pink and everything. And I want him to try to hit on the biggest guy in that bar. That's what I want him to do.
Wow.
Pure evil.
Just a little, but you cannot obviously tell me. You would not be glued to that TV screen.
And all I was thinking about was the table where the guy had his like nutsack hanging down below and they were beating on it with a rubber hammer.
Oh my god!
You can't tell me you would not love to see that, though.
Well, either one of them. Everybody wants to see him get knocked out.
They need a show. Like,
just take it to another level, though. I mean, come on.
You know, launch him out of the cannon like Wee Man or whatever. Right? Like,
I don't. And a bed of nails, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think, there, Dale?
Well, I was thinking up. I just want to make sure, just so we don't overlook it. I'm just gonna, for people watching the video version, I'm going to. I got the information there on the screen for your upcoming fight, the Spring Swing, April 27th at the Cedar Lakes Casino in Cedar. Oh gosh, that's too
Cass Lake, Minnesota.
Oh, whoops, Cass Lake, Minnesota. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
How far is that away from here? About.
It's about 2 hours and some change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too far.
I'll throw the link in the live chat here too in just in a minute. But if people are just watching or listening to this anytime, anywhere afterwards, it's in the description too, a link to buy tickets for the fights. So yeah, heck yeah, guys. Date's coming up here really soon, 8 days away. What's going to be your big training plan here these last few days?
Drilling. Like,
yeah,
just drilling on repeat. This probably the same one depending on what I need and what Vic sees that like I need to work on, just straight on repeat. That's what I usually do, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, so picking up those little things that we're trying to perfect, and we're never going to get perfect, but we can sure try to get there.
Heck yeah.
Well, you guys don't look like you've been hit an awful lot yet.
I appreciate that,
Lonnie. What weight class is that?
Gamut here, these last days leading up to the fight, Victor, your coach putting you through some intense stuff, or
yeah.
He's always putting us through a little workout, but we appreciate that from him.
Well, Supersonic was asking what weight class.
I'm 160 right now, and I'm going to be fighting at 155. I started cutting down. I'm probably around like 158, and I just need like 3 more pounds to go.
And you're going to lose about 30 pounds for your next fight?
About 5 pounds.
So what weight class?
170. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's 15 pounds more than the last fight that me and this guy fought at, which is either he got really fat or he bulked up a little bit. So we're going to see. We're going to see where he's at. But, I'm excited for the fight.
Okay,
can I ask you a question? How do you feel going into a fight? Are you nervous, anxious? Are you... You know, I've only fought in a couple of smokers, but I mean, as you know, you were coming up the ranks. And so when you go in, you feel like, what's your gut tell you?
Juan, you want to go first? Because it's a little two perspectives here, because he's been doing it for a little less time than me, and I've been doing it a little longer. So
I've only had one fight. And first time I got in the ring, I was kind of nervous. My coach told me he had like I think he said 7-3, and it was my first one, and I was kind of nervous, but like once I stepped in there, he slapped me in the back, and I was like, screw it, I'm already in here, just go at him until I win, right? And when the round ended, well, it was like after the first round where I got the hang of it, where I felt like not really composed, but like
comfortable.
Yeah, I felt comfortable in the ring. It was like it felt normal, and I ended up losing that fight. I started going to the corner. Vic's excited for some reason, and he tells me my opponent had 17 fights before me.
Oh, they didn't even let you know for real.
Yeah. Me and Vic were talking beforehand.
Yeah, this guy fought 50 fights. So I'm going to my new fight.
Yeah, we told Juan that he only had 7 fights, and then Juan's getting super nervous, and then we tell him, okay, fine, he's only got 2 fights. He Juan goes in there. What?
Vic changed it like 3 times.
He changed it like 4 times. And
he said he has 10 fights. And I was like, what? And he's like, nah, I was kidding. 7. And I was like, 7?
As if I didn't notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's cruel, man.
Yeah.
No, but like, thing was, Juan went in with no fear. He was nervous, but he was like, it was amazing to see him do that. And
so a guy with no fights fighting a guy with 17 fights.
Yeah. I was.
Yeah. You could tell the first round he was nervous, but the second and third round you could base it off a split decision.
Were you in on this?
I was, yeah, I was in his corner.
No, I mean, did you know how many fights the other guy had?
I didn't know until after 3 seconds before the ring, before he got in the ring.
Oh, yeah, so you guys pushed him out there.
I was like, okay, I'm a little nervous, but the thing with Juan, he's been working his butt off. Like,
so he held his own?
Yes, he's one of the hardest working guys in the gym. You see him in there with altitude mask on. A weighted vest on, you will always see him working, you always see him sweating, you always see him grunting and be like, I'm in here to work.
Well, I got 50 pounds, 60 pounds on him, and I don't want to mess with him. He's just like he's a high school kid.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with me, Monty.
Well, that's you're more dangerous than anybody.
Okay.
But no, Steve, if you saw either one of these guys, they're in very good physical shape. They look like they could fight. Protect themselves if they're in a pinch somewhere,
yeah.
And so there's that. I don't know. You know, you got these fights coming up down there, and how many fights on the card?
It all varies between each fight. Some people don't want to drive out that far, but
really depends on.
It could be varying from 10 to 15.
10, 15
fights. Yeah. 10 to 15 bouts. Yeah, yeah. We're excited though.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get back in.
Well, I've over the years, because Grand Forks has had, like I said, a history of boxing, I would go to boxing at the Legion or at the Civic Centers and Hislop, even the old arena, and see fights. And you could see guys, just these huge guys in heavyweight divisions. And the guys they were fighting were barely heavyweights, but they were in much better shape. So a belly punch.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the big guy is down on his hands and knees, dying because he got hit and he wasn't nearly in the shape he should have been in.
Yeah.
And you know, when I reference something like that, I don't know, you know, if in 1978 or so, 77, 78, Muhammad Ali fought Leon Spinks.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Spinks first, he had like 7 pro fights, I think. And Muhammad Ali kind of overlooked him, came in flabby. Mm-hmm. And he was already getting more to the twilight of his career, not, you know, it was, and he came in kind of flabby, and Leon Spinks came in as a Marine.
Right.
In great shape, and he just kept swinging, and he kept swinging, and he kept swinging, and all he could do was, like, cover up. And so Spinks took the championship away from him. But then they had a rematch about a year later in Superdome in New Orleans. Muhammad Ali was in shape for that one.
He was. He didn't take it so lightly the second time.
No, he didn't.
Like, I'm going to come back.
And it wasn't even close. I mean, it still went to a decision, but it was not even close because those punches he was getting hit with, they weren't landing.
No.
He was dick, 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 dick. You know, the jab, 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 yep. Jab, jab, boom, yeah. Jab, 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 bounce around. Leon Spinks couldn't hit him. You know, and you know, God rest his soul, Leon Spinks just passed away here. He'd been living out in Vegas, and my little brother, who parties a little bit out there, would hang out with him and would visit him with him now and again. But no, so that's the being in shape and the being out of shape and overlooking an opponent, and guys do that. And a similar thing could have been when Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Do we have another video, Ed?
Yeah, we got.
Oh yeah, you said that a new one.
We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We got 2 video ads going back to back here, so
we'll be right back in just a minute here.
There we go.
Brought to you by Simonson Car Wash, where you'll always feel good on the road in a clean, dry, and shiny car. Get 1 month free when you buy any single wash today and experience our Fast Pass unlimited washes all month long. No contracts, no hassles, just easy billing and the freedom to wash at any Simonson Car Wash locations in North Dakota and Minnesota. Enjoy our high-powered vacuums to keep your interior spotless. We also have our free-to-use detailed towels available for your convenience on site. And don't forget to mention GFBS at the sales window for your complimentary air fresheners to keep your car smelling fresh and clean. Unlimited washes, unlimited savings, Simonson Fast Pass, your ticket to a clean and happy ride. Visit us today at 310 Gateway Drive, Grand Forks, and let Simonson Car Wash take care of you so you can feel good on the road in a clean, dry, and shiny car. Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in around golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks. With more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up. Team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
All right, welcome back to Fork Sports Highway here. Back in the GFBS studios here in the Grand Cities Mall. Monty had to step out for a quick minute here, but we are currently joined by Robert Kellogg and Juan Mizardo. I screwed that up bad. I'm sorry, man.
It's good. It's...
Oh, gosh. But, you know, I got a link there in the live chat in the description. Again, you guys, that big fight coming up here April 27th at the Cedar Lakes Casino there in Cass Lake, Minnesota. Click that link, buy tickets, help support these guys, and also combat cardio club. Guys got MMA fights. Your fighters from that gym will be participating in at the Alaris Center here coming up here in middle of May here. Tickets for that, alariscenter.com/MMA. I know we're talking before or during the break here about getting to know you guys a little bit more, just latest you guys got going on for yourself. So Juan, why don't we go with you? We'll start with you. What's been like going on for you lately outside or also with your boxing life?
I've been working a lot more. Not much has really happened. I don't get invited to much stuff at like school events. I'm not that popular. I don't keep my head up. I was freshman year. I was 200 pounds. I was kind of chubby. No one talked to me. So when I lost it, I just got to feel like pass in the back, like, oh, you slimmed up. And then they just left. And I was like, okay. And I don't really talk to people much. I don't have.
This is actually, I was going to ask you because, you know, you saw. I commented on this earlier because you do not look like you're 16 years old. Okay, so I was in Taekwondo. I did a lot of tournaments. I was with, a lot.
Yeah.
And so when you get into the ring with somebody, and obviously, let me get rid of those. You got somebody that's your age, but they look like they're half your age. I'm trying to think of the way to describe this. So when they are approaching you and you're about to get into this bout, because you're obviously a lot bigger, you look like you're a lot older.
Check his ID.
Yeah, pretty much. But do you ever get the reverse of that where all of a sudden you're in the ring with somebody and it's like, whoa, this guy looks like he's way bigger than me? Because, I mean, like I said, you're 16 years old.
Yeah.
And you look like an adult. So does it look like you're ever getting in the ring with another, like say, somebody that looks like they're 25 years old or the opponent that you're going against? Do they look at you like you're 25 years old? I mean, that's kind of a weird question, but it's undeniable that, you know.
Looks can be perceiving.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it happened. Like, I've only had one match so far, but if I, like, my opponent, he was kind of, like, same size as me. He didn't look that much older than me, but I don't know how a teenager is supposed to look. Like, I don't really, like, that's a good point. Like, yeah. So, it's, but I don't know. If I was going against someone that looks 25, I don't think, like, the age would really affect it. It really just depends on experience. If I'm put against someone older that's, like, 25 years older than me, I'd trust in Vic to put me against someone that I can handle and that I can, like, process. At the boxing gym, we don't have much people I could spar with. Or there's people I can't spar with. I just, none of them are 16 or in my age, so I'm used to fighting people that are, like, 25 or just. I sparred that one Marine once. He hit hard. But,
what's your guy?
Nelson, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, anytime. You...
That's a good answer. Very good answer.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, so promoting you guys and what you're doing, you know, I typically go into a lot of other sports tonight, but since we had you in here, we wanted to, you know, run around. And so you, boxing and what other sports? You guys, you don't typically basketball, football. You know, you live in a hockey town and you go to a hockey school.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
So you know, Red River just won the state hockey championship here not too awful long ago. Cross paths with any of those boys?
I don't know them. I don't talk to people. I do.
You're like Raven over here.
Yeah.
When I went to Red River, I was a group jumper. Like, one day I was sitting with, I don't know, the people that like chess, like the chess club, because I was one of the only kids that knew how to play chess. And then the very next day, I was with the guys playing World of Warcraft in completely opposite worlds, believe it or not. So I talked to a lot of people, but nothing was actually in depth to the point where I actually had a friend group. I was just
there
bouncing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Is that how your high school experience is going too? You're just around there, and you know, because Red River is kind of like, you know, it's been referred to as Corvette High. You know,
I didn't even know Hockey State team won, and I didn't like. Ooh. I didn't even notice. I just found out today.
Well, I mean, you're in a hockey town, and you know, they win all the time, so it's old hat. That's how I used to feel when I first got here. Was like, you know, big deal. They always win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? I've been to, like, I think it's 2 or 3 high schools because our family moves a lot. I lived in Texas, and then I went to high school there for, like, I went from middle school in Texas to high school in Montana, and then from Montana, I went from Montana to here.
And Supersonic, he's got Puerto Rican roots, so that's fighter mentality and fighter bloodline, I would say. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, one quick note. I was cleaning out my mom's some stuff, and I came across her yearbook, 1953, called The Forks.
Ah.
Is that Central, or what school is that one?
I think that's right before Red River, right?
Was Red River open by 53?
No.
Yeah.
Red River didn't exist at the time. All there would have been was Central, and St. James was a Catholic school.
Oh, yeah. This is Central.
That's probably Grand why Forks. They so called that would it have been the Forks. Central.
Yeah. So there was. I suppose Forks was the only one school.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you amazing. Know, this last hockey championship was Grand Forks Central had a chance to win their 30th state hockey championship, and Red River was their opponent in the championship game. The two Grand Forks schools were in the championship game.
Yeah.
And Red River won, so they won their 20th. Championship.
Wow.
So between the two schools,
legacy, man.
So between the two schools, they've got 49 of the, I don't know, 59 championships that exist.
And then the coach wants to come on here from Central and try to talk shit. That's funny.
Oh, God.
I remember that. He's not allowed back.
Hey, to be fair, I tried to get the Red River coach on too, but he had other obligations that night.
Yeah, because he's too busy.
training his people how to win instead of talking shit to a girl on a sports show.
I think both of you guys kind of egged each other on, though.
Okay, I didn't start it.
He did. I'm with Raven. He started it.
Monty brought on a judge that put me in jail.
Oh, no.
It's a fun.
That's actually a true story.
There's never a dull moment here at the studio.
But to preface, so the next day, Paul sent me a message. He said, don't bring on guests that have put me in jail. And my question to him was, how far does that radius go?
Yeah, it was just like, what, 2 months ago when you tried to fight a bus driver?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
That's some wild, crazy guys back
well,
there.
Well, we're lucky we're still on the air is all I know. I got to be remiss. I know you guys, you know, we've been beating the boxing thing to death, but I'm a big New York sports fan. The Yankees, the New York Knicks, the New York Rangers, the New York Giants. I do follow the local Minneapolis teams, I guess is what you would say from here. But the New York Yankees have the best record in major leagues right now. The New York Rangers have the best record in the NHL. And my New York Knicks have a 50-win season for the second time in 23 years, and they're the second seed in the Eastern Conference going into the playoffs. So it's a New York kind of year right now in the playoff scenes and in the sports scenes, and I'm loving it. And especially right now when hockey – so the NBA playoffs have just started. The NHL hockey playoffs are just about to start, and the Major League Baseball season is a month into the season, and things are looking so great in New York right now. I'm loving
it. In April.
Yeah. It's looking up. They've jumped out huge. What do you think, Raven? My Yankees, my Knicks, and my Rangers.
So I didn't even realize it. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and I didn't realize it was kind of about the New York Knicks.
Oh.
So I forgot his first name, but his name was Johnson. He started as a Knick and then ended up, I forgot where else. But, so I like true crime and whatnot. Okay, so this guy's actual basketball card has two serial killers sitting in the crowd in the background of the actual like official
of his
card.
Basketball card.
Yeah,
so that's
that actually happened. That's insane.
Johnson was the last name.
Johnson. Nick Johnson. No, hold on, I know it's somewhere.
So did they say on that
show if his car if
Mark
that
Jackson, totally wrong name. Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, he's been a coach too. He was NBA Rookie of the Year. Pretty good player, had a really really great career with the Indiana Pacers with Reggie Miller and those guys and was the head coach of the bunch that at Golden State. And then he made a homophobic comment, and they fired him. And he hasn't been able to land a job since.
Doesn't he do some announcing though,
They had him on. He does do some basketball announcing, but he cannot get a head coaching job due to his personal beliefs and comments that he made, which is really unfortunate because we live in America. You can have an opinion, but boy, you can't have one against that bunch.
Yeah.
I call them the alphabet soup.
Yep. That's too bad. That really is.
Like you said, I don't know how we're still on air.
Well, I mean, yeah, but some people want to listen to stuff that's not a bunch of BS all the time.
Well, sure, right. Sure. And you know, that's the thing is we're pretty blunt. And I don't know, you guys, we're Fork Sports Highway, but we are also the anti-LeBron James show.
Yeah, the bruised
who?
Banana.
The bruised banana.
The bruised banana. I don't even call him by his name anymore.
Yep, the bruised banana, LeBron James. The bruised banana. Well, there's never been an athlete more hyped and pumped and pushed into our faces in the history of mankind than that guy.
Yeah.
God forbid he bumps his ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Out for five games. Bruised ankle. That's why I call him the bruised banana.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was wondering why.
Well, and
so fruity.
So he's got this this bruised left ankle that kept him out of. And it was funny because he was only out of the games against the top contending teams. He was always back for the bottom feeders, you know, so he can come in and beat them, and then and you know, so it was funny. You could go, well, he's probably not going to play this game, but he's going to play these two, and then he's probably not going to play this one. So it's the bruised banana. That's a great.
Monty,
did you see there was some LeBron news along with 10 other players in the news with LeBron James?
Well, go ahead, Dale. You brought it up. You got it.
Team USA announced their men's basketball team for the Paris Olympics this summer. So I got the roster here. They intentionally left one roster spot open, but 11 of the 12 names. Joining Mr. LeBron is Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Haliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis. And Steve Kerr is actually replacing Greg Popovich as the head coach. So, Monty, I know you. I trust your hoops opinion. What do you rate of that Team USA team?
Well, they're a little long in the tooth. I would probably take LeBron and all of the other guys that are like 35-plus off of there and put much younger guys on there. If you were going to watch the playoffs right now that are going on, and I don't know, Supersonic, you might agree with me. Did you happen to see what Sacramento did to Golden State the other night in the play-in game?
I did, and did you? I think Mike Clay's gone. He's going to be gone.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. The guy had the ACL and the Achilles. I mean, that's like a kiss of death to have both those injuries. One you can come back from and regain your form, but to have both, I think
that we saw the last of him.
And well, he's got four rings, and that's about four more than most players ever get. You know, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing. The list goes on and on of guys that never even got a championship that were really great players. So he's got four.
Do you think he's Hall of Fame?
Clay?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. As a member of the Splash Brothers, probably. I think those three guys probably have to go in together. I think, as big a clown as Draymond has turned into, I think that those guys, their run, I don't know, the four championships in a 10-year period, you know, you look back at all of the guys from the Boston Celtics and their Bill Russell championship teams, the Bailey Howells and those guys, that, you know, Bill Russell took about 10 guys to the Hall of Fame with him.
And, yeah, you know, no doubt about that.
And they're not, you know, they're not of like the baseball steroid era. Where you're going to block them out because they obviously were cheating to enhance their abilities. These guys were definitely just the prototypical solid basketball team at a time when it fit. I think the way they play now is it doesn't fit anymore. I think the younger guys are running them off the court. I think the older guys, basketball is probably of all the sports. You get old in a season. One season to the next, suddenly it passed you.
Yep.
It's just like that. The speed, the athleticism, and even a guy like Joel Embiid right now, who was the MVP of the league last year, supersonic, the game is going by him as fast as like the speed of sound. Or look at Kevin Durant right now with the Phoenix Suns. He's still a great player, but he's a shell of what he was.
When he came out, we drafted him first round. Seattle, I think he was a freshman or a sophomore in college.
He played 1 year at Texas, and then he went to the Seattle Supersonics.
And he was like 6'9", 6'10", really a guard or a three. Right. And, man, he could shoot, and he was lanky, he's not the same player he was.
No, not at all. And neither is LeBron. And LeBron, there have been stories about him and possible steroid use to continue to build up his body the way it is at 39 years old. Lots of denial, but boy, he has been connected to some labs where other athletes from other sports have been, and so you have to question it.
Yeah,
they'll cover it up for him.
Well, yeah, that's the problem is that the league, he's been the face of the league for so long that they can't afford to have that, much like Barry Bonds in baseball.
So,
it's like they can't have that be the face of baseball.
So I got a question.
Tiger Woods.
Since we're on the basketball and playoffs starting, they're just getting past the play-in round. What are you guys going to be watching the NBA playoffs this weekend here? I know I'm stoked for the Timberwolves. They're projected to actually make it past the first round since that iconic run with Kevin Garnett in the 2003-04 season. They've never made it past the first round of the playoffs since. So I don't think they'll actually get to the second round, but for that'll be like a huge like morale victory for the Timberwolves. Anyone watching NBA playoffs this weekend?
Well, I certainly will be, but I don't know that. The Timberwolves, boy,
old Minnesota way. We'll get it next year.
They
mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. I'm a guy that likes to think that the Minnesota sports teams are cursed because of the hangings in Mankato of all those Indians way back there. And until somebody has some kind of ceremony that to asphyxiate that or do something about it, they're going to continue to lose like they lose. The Minnesota Twins are the one exception because they weren't originally. The Minnesota Twins were the Washington Senators. They moved to Minnesota. They're not an original Minnesota team. But the Timberwolves, the Vikings, the Stars before them. Minnesota is a land that belonged to the Sioux Indians and was taken from them, and the largest mass hanging in the history of the United States took place in Mankato. Yep. And so the Mankato 38+1 takes place every winter. And until somebody addresses that, I actually wrote an email to Ziggy Wilf, the owner of the Vikings, telling him to get a Sioux medicine man to come into to like get rid of this curse, and of course they blow it off, poo hoo, bah ha hoo. But you know what? They have the history, and they don't win. They don't win even when they should win. They don't win. The 1998 Vikings and Randy Moss and Chris Carter and those guys, best team ever, and the missed field goal. Well, that's the Indians pushing that ball left or right.
Monty,
that's my opinion.
Monty, you are forgetting one except there is one exception to the Minnesota curse other than
the Minnesota Lynx.
The Minnesota Lynx.
Well, the WNBA, that's a whole different thing because I'm the only person on the planet that sports the WNBA.
Hey, Monty, I actually made an honest effort last season to keep up with the Minnesota Lynx. And there's huge WNBA news that we should probably touch on.
Well, WNBA news, they just had the draft.
Yep.
So Caitlin Clark was picked first in the draft. Caitlin Clark, the Iowa bombshell that everybody loves, brought more attendance and more eyeballs to the game of women's basketball in the last 3 months than any player ever.
Like this whole past year since
her last two March Madness runs.
The women's game outdrew the men's game for viewership. Which is really an impossibility, should never happen. Yeah. But I went off on my Indian rant there with the Minnesota teams for sure. But no, I believe that. I really do.
It's like they
have this history because Minnesota, the atrocities that took place there, and the Indian Wars of the, and it's not that many years ago. When you reflect on it back in generationally. We're talking maybe 2 to 3 generations of people. And then those folks, not only the atrocities that took place back then, were followed up by the taking away and forced institutional schools, the Indian schools. Mm-hmm. Even the University of North Dakota out here just had all these bodies, bones and fragments of people that have to be repatriated that suddenly were like locked in boxes and closets. We do have a lot of atrocities, but we still are the best country in the world. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
No doubt about that. But to recognize the historical impacts that took place and the way Minnesota and North Dakota were cultivated, the Black Hills in South Dakota. And I could just go on and on and on, but there's gold in those hills. My God, this is your land forever. Oh, but wait, there's gold there.
Yeah, and then we just like.
All right, who we got up?
Oh, I was just saying, Monty, we're about due up for our last ad of the show here, and then probably got about 10 minutes. Hit all your last topics here if you want here. So.
All right. Well, the ad, I've been trying to make Raven read that. Nope. She won't do it, huh? Sandy read it last week. Were you here?
Yeah, and I read it the week before that.
Oh, okay.
And the week before that.
Oh, okay.
You got this. I believe in you. You got this.
River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Abigail. You know, actually, that one looks like one I kind of want to see. They like kidnap this vampire girl.
I have not seen the previews.
Huh? You haven't seen the
previews?
No.
No.
So they take this little girl hostage, and she turns out to be a vampire and kills all these hostage takers. Mm. Bad mistake. Anyway, that looked intriguing. Abigail Civil War, it's called. Spy Family Code White, I don't know what that is. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Is that a remake?
They're releasing it, their classic movie of the week.
Shrek 2, 20th anniversary, $5 ticket. The First Omen, Godzilla versus Kong, The New Empire, Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4, and Dune Part 2. That's Paul's favorite thing. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the 5:50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and brand new ones at that, and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family owned and operated. All right, I can still do that.
There you go, Moni. All right, well, we got about 10 minutes to wrap up. What topics would you like to wrap with?
Well, I did have a note or two over here. The Arizona Coyotes, NHL hockey team. Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg Jets were this hockey team up in Winnipeg, Manitoba for the longest time, and they moved to Arizona. Became the Arizona Coyotes back, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, maybe more than that.
Yeah, probably. You're close.
And Winnipeg was heartbroken when that team left, but now there's a new Winnipeg team.
It's the Jets again.
Is it the Jets?
Yep, the expansion team, they brought them back as the Jets.
But anyway, the original Jets moved to Arizona, the Arizona Coyotes, and Arizona has been playing in like University of Arizona, Arizona State's,
Interim stadium, right?
Facility ever since they got there. It's like a 5,000 or a 6,000 seat arena for a professional hockey team, which is unheard of. And so now the team has been sold to the ownership group of the Utah Jazz, another really hot hockey bed, Utah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, hot, I would say, is not the right word, but. Go for
yeah.
It.
Okay. So I know you get the sarcasm. The Arizona Coyotes are relocating to Salt Lake City after being sold to the Utah Jazz owners, the Smith Entertainment Group, led by Ashley and Ryan Smith. The Coyotes will play at the Delta Center where the Utah Jazz play. Although the ownership group of the Arizona Coyotes maintains the option for an expansion team if and when they get an arena built down there. Why? It's just a desert. You know, what does it cost to keep a sheet of ice out down there?
Oh, shit.
I mean, they can't. I don't think they can keep ice cubes in their Coca-Cola.
Not for very long.
No, that's what I mean. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's just like having hockey in Florida, and they do, the Tampa Bay Rays and or Lightning and whatnot. But it doesn't make any sense. You know, for years and years, there was no hockey south of the Mason-Dixon line. And then it turned into this money thing. Mm-hmm. So Dallas has got a hockey team hotter than hell in Dallas, too. Yeah. I mean, what does it cost to keep it? You know, it's one thing. It's bad enough. They talk about bad ice at the Ralph Engelstad Arena, the marquee facility in all of hockey in the world here in Grand Forks, sometimes has bad ice because of temperature changes. But when you're dealing with 100-degree temperatures, I don't know, man. That's smart.
What the heck is bad ice? I mean, I have it in my drink once in a while when I wake up the next morning and have a hangover, but what the fuck? What does bad ice mean?
Well, bad ice is when the ice is breaking down during the game and the puck is sticking in the slush. As they're trying to pass it and slide, and the guy's coming along 100 miles an hour on his skates and the puck won't come with him. It's stuck in like a mud puddle.
I feel like it's kind of hard to predict the weather. Recently, it's been like really bipolar.
Especially here. Well, we've been sitting up here in Grand Forks, North Dakota with these balmy 60, 70 degree temperatures in the middle of April and unseasonable for sure because this is not a normal April. And then all of a sudden today it took this nasty turn and got cold with a couple
degrees
of
degrees on Saturday. Now it's 38 degrees outside.
With a couple of snowflakes falling, nothing significant, but some snowflakes falling. And what I tell you guys is you guys are fighting on April 27th, my birthday.
Happy birthday,
Mike! So on my 21st birthday last year,
okay, I'm listening.
No, but on my 21st birthday, we got 4 feet of snow. There wasn't a bar open. I was living in Minot, North Dakota, and I had the phone book, and I was calling every bar in that book on my 21st birthday.
No luck?
No, they were all closed. The whole city was shut down. And not that I even could have got there. I'd have died trying to get to one of them. But so when they tell me winter's done here, not till May 1st.
Yeah, there you go.
Not till May 1st ever. We could still get 4 feet of snow dumped on us. And in 1997 when we had the big flood, the big bad flood that flooded the whole town.
Oh, boy.
That was all April, too. Late April. Raven, were you alive in here then?
What?
During the flood, were you here?
I brought it.
You brought the flood.
No, I was born in 97, like just before the flood happened.
Oh, you caused it. It makes sense. It really does.
No kidding.
God. No, I was born like 3 months before that happened.
You were the one that
pushed. She was just getting her feet wet.
Yeah, she pushed those two top sandbags down at Lincoln Park that started the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now.
Oh, you guys making me feel
so
old.
Monty, your brother is a music guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's traveling around. Dickie Betts died today.
I saw
Remember
that.
Him?
Yeah, I do. The Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers, yep.
Yep. No, that was a big one. Last one of that whole band.
Ramblin' Man.
Yeah, the Ramblin' Man.
Monty, I got a couple last quick hockey things here before we wrap up here.
Okay.
So I see Keith in the chat mentioned that UND picked up a goalie from Arizona State in the transfer portal. So that's good because I believe they lost one, if not both, their goalies. I think they lost Pearson anyways. And he also mentioned it's soft ice being the term there but also going on, Minnesota Wild are wrapping up their season tonight. Right now they're playing their final game of the season. Not going to make the playoffs, unfortunately. They had a bit of a down year, but right now they're tied 1-1 against your Seattle Kraken, Supersonic.
Are the Kraken going to make the playoff?
No.
Oh, no, they're not? Oh, shoot.
No, not this year.
And then two other quick last hockey notes. Just a couple weeks ago, he was having his last UND hockey game, but he made his NHL debut just the other day, Jackson Blake for the Carolina Hurricanes. I guess they're resting their players for the playoffs, so he signed an AHL contract, but they called up a bunch of AHL players so they could rest their pro players. He played for just over 15 minutes. He made zero goals but had two shots on goal, so he got to see his first NHL time. So big props to him.
Well, good for him.
Finesse player.
And then one last quick hockey thing. Fargo Force, they're having a phenomenal year. They start their playoffs tomorrow for the USHL. I'll be at their first game tomorrow against the Tri-City Storm, excuse me. Yeah, but they set a record for their most wins in a season, going 50-10-2. So props to Fargo Force. Hope they kick butt in the playoffs. So that's all I got for hockey stuff. Sorry.
Well, my last sports note is the Vikings have the 11th and 23rd picks in the NFL draft, and they need a quarterback. Everybody speculates that they're going to move up to number three and take this Mays character, but I don't know. You know, there's a quarterback that plays for Chicago or doesn't play, actually. This Justin Fields was one of the top picks a couple of drafts back, and he was supposed to be a sure thing, and he hasn't panned out for crap. So anytime you're talking about players, you know, taking them and trading up to get them, there's no guarantee whatsoever. You just end up, they could be a bust. They could be great. They could be Ryan Leaf. How about Supersonic Steve? You ever heard of Ryan Leaf?
Oh, yes, I have. He went WSU. He's a Coug.
Yeah. When he was a high draft pick, and he ended up in prison and every goddamn thing else, right?
Third draft pick, yeah.
Third pick in the NFL draft. And
San Diego Chargers, yeah.
Yeah. And
didn't work out very well for him, but he's done real well since then. He's cleaned himself up, which is nice.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope so. But he did do a prison stint and did some really stupid things. And that's the gamble. It's always a gamble. So I don't know. You take what you got and you develop them. Kind of like these boxers are being developed by the guy that coaches them. Yep. You know that it is, unless you have a mentor or a coach that's on top of you and doing things with you, you're going to be out there running the streets.
Like
a lot of people, and we've seen athletes do that over and over and over and over and over again in any sport, and it just is, you know, unless you have some kind of discipline, you know, desire and discipline,
motivation,
drive,
yeah,
hard work is everything, really is, and that, you know, Ralph Engelstad that built this arena up here. He always, his motto was, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yep. That's a good one.
Robert Wan, before we wrap up, we just want to thank you guys for taking some time joining us today and talk about your training and the upcoming fights. In case people are tuning in and missed it, where can people find out what's the big date and location for the upcoming fights for you guys?
Cedar Lakes Casino, Cass Lake, Minnesota, and April 27th. Yeah.
And again, I got links in the description for this episode and the chat. People can buy tickets there. Help support local fighting.
Yeah, we'd love the support. And if you guys are ever interested in boxing, come down to C3 Combat. It's a great gym. Great coaching gym.
Yeah, I've been in there.
I think I got a link also for your guys' gym Facebook page, Combat Cardio Club, right?
Yep. Yeah, C3, Combat Cardio Club.
All right, good deal.
Well, I got to push in here. I see that this year is the 50th anniversary of the North Dakota Shrine football game to be held at Mayville State University on Saturday, June 22nd. We were asking if Grand Forks Best Source would help sponsor this event.
Oh, Monty. It's just mentioning the date of the game and all that. Yeah.
Okay, so the game is...
it was like Mayville State.
It's at Mayville State. I don't see... June 22nd. June 22nd, the Shrine game.
Yeah.
It's a Bill Terrell request, I guess. So then, Raven, you got anything else? You riding that horse?
Yeah, when it was 70 degrees last weekend.
Yeah?
Yep.
Not today?
No, first trail ride of the year.
I saw you were out with a whole bunch of other people, or five or six or something, riding in the water even.
Yep.
Where was that at?
Fertile.
Yeah, literally down in the creek.
Yeah, my horse loves water.
I that kind of amazed me. I didn't know that they actually did that. I thought that was only in movies.
No.
You can actually get your horse to go down there and walk in the water?
Yeah. He loves it. He actually splashes. I have videos of him just being a giant puppy.
He's a giant, all right.
No, he loves it. He splashes. Like, so one of his friends that I went riding with, because the girls I went riding with, all of the horses stay in the same pen, like they're all on the same farm, they board with me, so he knows all the horses and all the girls. It's just the funniest time ever, because all the horses have never been in the water at the same time. They were just losing it. They were going crazy. One was splashing the other in the face, one was hitting the other one with the tail. It was a great time.
I saw like 5 or 6 horses down in the water, and I was like, I thought that was like a phony picture or something.
No. Huh. Nope, I got videos.
Oh, there you go. Nice. See, I pay attention once.
And now it's 30 degrees. It's not okay. Yeah. It's. I mean, it is only our 7th winter-ish. 7th what, spring yet this year?
Canceled the races this weekend. No fun.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, canceled the races. Yeah, Dale, they'll be back the week after, though.
Dale was supposed to be out in Devil's Lake doing races this weekend, and they're done because of the weather change. But it's only going to be this like this for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the spring, and here we are. I don't think we're going to see any more real snow. Most of the city crews have taken the blades off the plows, which is always a good sign.
Yes.
I don't know. Supersonic, you got any more sports out there?
No, I'm good. No, I'm fine.
Hey, Supersonic. No.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Yes, congrats.
Thank you. 40 years was enough for me. I got my Letterman's jacket, so I'm good.
I was going to say, I think 40 years, no matter what you're doing, I think you earned something or another. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, guys and girls, we'll talk next week.
All right, Supersonic. We'll
All right.
See you later.
Take care.
How about you over here? Anything else you want to throw in there? Jack Dempsey?
Yeah.
No?
Not much.
Good.
No,
check out C3 every now and then, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, we know it's over there. We do definitely know that. And I don't really have anything else myself except my wrap-up. Raven, you just did your little horsey horse.
My little horsey horse?
Yeah. Nothing else?
No.
Beat anybody up or anything like that?
Oh, not yet.
Okay. How about you, Dale? Nothing?
I love that you guys spent more than a minute on wrestling last week. I thought, I'm like, okay, this will be a quick 30 seconds. This is boring. And then I'm like, wow, they're actually talking about it for 15 minutes. I should have skipped book club last week.
Speaking about that, I am still surprised Roman Reigns is in it. He's been in it for a while now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll just throw a quick addendum
there that WrestleMania 30 or 40, his awesome 3.5 year reign as Universal Champion came to an end. It was a hell of a run. And that main event was just freaking phenomenal. The crowd, I was losing it with the crowd, is like all these run-ins and all this craziness happened. It was like several years of wrestling history just kind of like Raven, I believe you said you love your Harry Potter, right?
Yep.
So in the Harry Potter film, so like the final was the 8th Harry Potter film, I imagine there's all kinds of flashbacks or references and callbacks to all the movies and like all these big story payoffs, right? So in wrestling, it was like this guy had this 3.5 year title reign, and there's all these callbacks to all his past opponents as the match happened, and more like as they all happened, like the crowd was losing it more and more and more, and for whatever reason, at the end, Undertaker came out, and the crowd just absolutely lost it, and it was just, you just had to be there or at least watching it, and it was one of the easy top 5 WrestleManias of all time. I loved it, and I'm glad you guys talked about it for a while. That was so
big kudos.
I remember seeing Roman Reigns when he first came out.
Yeah. I think he's taking a little bit of a break now since he lost the belt, but I'm sure he'll be back. He's not he's been I think 2012 is when he debuted on the main roster.
Yeah.
Hell of a run.
All right, you got your WWE wrestling stuff in there.
You know
that's
it, Monty.
All we got. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source, live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnering on Millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for tonight. We'll see you next week.